Friendly Geordie's podcast. G'day, how are you out there? Fantastic. All right, Ali, how are you?
I am spectacular.
That's very positive stuff. Everybody's happy. Miss Love? He's not here again. And the reason this time, apparently, is because he's gone fishing.
Is that what he told you? He told me something else.
What did he say to you?
He said, man, I'm so tired. It is unbelievable how tired I am. He did not mention anything about fishing. He can't go fishing. He's like really super, he's super busy right now.
Yeah, that's what I said. But then I said, well, why aren't you coming here if you could go fishing? He goes, you don't understand, man. I really need to unwind. So we're not going to begrudge him that. I guess it'll just be Ali and I not flying solo. It'll be a troublesome duo. Pretty much those scary twins in that movie where Jack Nicholson goes, here's Johnny. You're listening to two ghosts. So the first thing that we're going to be talking about today is... because actually, it was spurred from my discussion with Miss Love because I am moving up to Lithgow in a bizarre turn of events.
Yes, this is for real.
Where I'll be going there because my house is being renovated. I need somewhere to stay. I'm not bloody going to Mount Druitt. You know, I need a place that has a backyard for me to record my outrageous videos. Plus, I guess it'll give my neighbours who... for the first time, I think, after 3 years of me recording the other day, just yelled, shut the fuck up.
Oh.
That's pretty amazing effort on their behalf. I said, fair enough. You have just been putting up with this for approximately 1,150 days in a row. I'll give you peace and quiet for now, but I'll be back. Tomorrow's a work day.
I should... maybe this is not the best place to say, but my little brother's moving out, so you can probably move to my house as well if you want.
We'll talk about that off air.
The best pod segment ever. Daily issues that we're dealing with. Sorry, not the place.
Ali, have you paid your electricity bill recently? Yeah, me neither. We really need to get onto that. I'm really glad we have this podcast as a medium to remind ourselves of that. This is more or less an auditory list.
Yeah.
To do. Yes, BuzzFeed Radio. Okay, so... What we were discussing, though, is he was saying, you're going to love it up there. It's a fantastic place to live. There's excellent forestry for you to look at, as Miss Love has clearly displayed. Fantastic fishing. But the thing that he was saying is a bit of a drawback, is that 2 out of 5 Lithgowites are, quote-unquote, fucked cunts.
I love how that you don't need any more explanation. Just that is enough to understand exactly what Miss Love is trying to say.
And we all got a vision in our head. The guy in the road that was taking a piss was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and then he's putting a gun to him saying, don't move. Don't say anything that could draw attention to the guys down there. Mullet, Budweiser hat on, very worn down teeth. Making cracked smiles at children. That's what he means by fuck cunts, I thought. But then he was talking to me more about it, and he was saying that you don't realise how diverse of a variety there are of fucked cunts. He's coming up with the same realisation that Charles Darwin did when he went from island to island and
realised
that some finches have really thick beaks and others have really thin beaks.
Yeah, it's not... this is way more complicated than I thought. It's not a man in the sky after all.
This is what we thought. Obviously, if you've watched our content, which you clearly do, it'd be very weird if you were here going, no, I'm not a fan of the videos at all. I really like this podcast.
That would be bizarre.
But you've seen a clear pattern that we do think that bogans are a gift from God.
Yes.
Every second video is just about how hilarious they are. But that's what I'm really excited about for going up there is because at the moment, and Ali, can you help me out with this? Because we're going to make a bird watching cross off for me to do. So everybody in the comments section, tell us all the other different types of fuck cunts you know. And I'll tick them off. Because at the moment, all I've got is fat welfare mums with 6 kids minimum. That's their version of being a single child parent.
Yeah, and like the more kids they have, don't they get like bonus money or something? I think there's like you're incentivized to have kids.
Oh yeah, they figured it out.
Yeah, they know exactly how to go about the whole thing.
These people are geniuses at rorting the system. And it is amazing for both of us to say, Ali, a confirmed Marxist, myself, just your everyday classic liberal commentator. But nah, man, these people are parasites.
Yes, but they're providing...
like surely four of those kids aren't for any other purpose except for a paycheck.
Yes, but the reason why they do get that money, because the government knows what's going on, but the reason why they get money is that because they do want more and more kids.
But aren't they just learning bad habits? Surely there must be a way to incentivize... your maths professors to have six kids.
Yes.
Instead of Debbie from Blaine Lithgow.
Yeah.
Who I can guarantee you that at some point she's woken up and thought that a shaved dog was just a seventh kid that fell out of her that night.
Dude, this is a very murky ethical line, because I think what we're advocating right now is that stupid people can't have babies, but smart people can.
Strong advocate of it. Always have been. If you listen to this podcast, that has been a very firm line that I've never retreated from.
What about one man, one vote?
What about that?
Well, you know, like, come on. Stupid people also have the same rights as smart people, which includes having kids. Although they took that job too seriously.
But do they have the right privileges? Huh?
They took that job too seriously. But do they have the same privileges? Is that what you're saying?
This is what I was... Yeah, I feel like, you should have the same right to vote, but if you're having kids purely to get a paycheck, maybe you shouldn't get that paycheck.
Yes.
Maybe you're not really in it for the love.
No, I think it's not just... Obviously, it's to have that money, but it also... Like, they're bored as fuck, dude. They live in rural Australia. The women are quite often, although not always, homemakers. Most PC way to put it, and they've got like nothing to do, so they have kids because that's what keeps them busy.
That, and being faithfuls of keeping Dr. Phil on air.
That and Deal or No Deal is basically surviving because of that fuck cunt category.
Yeah, and that's one of them. So we put that on the bird tick list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The next one that I was thinking was there's obviously junkies. The bread and butter staple of it, they're your garden variety. If we were doing a bird watching list, that they would be the pigeon. The one that's on there just so everybody can tick something off.
Yeah, like, we saw a pigeon.
Well, that's great. Was it white? No, it was grey. I don't know why we're having this conversation.
So I don't think we need to comment on that. Most people that live in urban settings also realize they know what that sort of a fuck cunt is. Just a druggo. Yep.
He was also saying that there is your classic pissed off tradie, where he seems to write a tightrope of emotion, where he's either extremely happy, really giving, saying stuff to you like, oh, you mate, you look like you're good at maths, can you help me out with this one here, mate? What's like 12 divided by 5? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be half of him, half the other. And then the other time... Like what happened with Miss Love's tradie that happened recently, he started punching walls in their not even opened up restaurant. Then afterwards apologized, said, sorry, mate, I'll clean that up. And then spent until 7 a.m. the next day drinking by himself in a not opened up bar yet.
Damn.
But what a gentleman, picked up the tab afterwards. Was it like, oh, just charge me for it?
Yeah. Well, that's the least you could do if you've been drinking and, like, breaking walls. Come on. Like, let's not give him props for that.
Yes. A quote-unquote gentleman.
Yeah.
Might I just add to the side of that Lithgow gentleman.
Lithgow gentleman. That is like, definitely one of the fuck cunts that we wouldn't see here in Sydney as often.
Nah. Tradies here, the way that they're a fuck cunt here is by going, oh yeah, I don't know about this, but I'm gonna have to think about a quote for it, which is just a way of them trying to figure out how much can I charge this guy before they think, I'm gonna get a second opinion on this.
Yes. And because that's it for them, because if they go in for a second opinion, that guy's only hoping either that guy also cons him, or he'll realize that I was trying to screw him for like $500.
So we've got those two. Ali, have you got anyone else to add to the list of fuck cunts that I need to cross off?
I think in rural Australia, what I would... Okay, so most of the rural towns are economically doing shit, unless you have like a university or a festival, like an Elvis Presley festival happening there. So I would assume a lot
Steal
of...
Steal the king.
Yes. So I would assume like a lot of small business owners that are like, I don't know, dairy farmers or shit like that, they are not making enough money. And they would either have like an option to move to the cities and try to make it on their own or stick to the life that they have chosen, which obviously means that they would be under a lot of financial stress. So they would kind of be like polite people, but they would be fucked inside because they're going through all of this turmoil of how do I feed myself and my two-year-old baby.
Okay, so you're asking me to cross off Barnaby Joyce. This is a quick preview into what we're going to be discussing a couple of segments down, but we were just watching the now famous parliamentary debate where Malcolm Turnbull refers to Bill Shorten as a sycophant and a parasite. Nobody was a bigger fan of that speech than Barnaby Joyce.
Yes, you can see the happiness on his face. It was like as if he was at a Dave Chappelle stand-up. He was that excited about...
Of course! Yeah, he was definitely the guy that you see... In the Dave Chappelle stand-up, back in the old days when 90% of his audience was black.
Yes, the good old days.
Yeah, that's the best audience. You definitely want that.
Yeah.
You know you're doing something right as a comedian if at least that percentage is urban. And there's one guy in the front row at some point where Dave Chappelle cracks a particularly good funny. I can't remember what it was. But he starts wading his feet... in midair, like he's trying to propel yes. himself as some
I
cheap helicopter.
That. I yes. remember that. Yes.
And then stands up and then offers his hand as a high five. Yes.
Dude, by the way, something that I did not know, that was that's a somewhat common thing at black stand-up comedy shows. They're quite and like oh they often like stand up and start clapping. And, like, for, like, really basic points, like, women suck ass. Come on, let's admit it. And they'll, like, all get
give
up.
Give it up. Give it
give
up.
It up. And they're, like,
always all... crack it. Always cutting to some 50-year-old fat black woman going, yeah, we suck. We suck.
Yes, but that particular... I know exactly what you're talking about. This one dude. Dude, there's... Like, you can say whatever you want, but being stingy when it comes to laughter is not something that black people are known for. They are the best audience for a comedy show because they're extreme... For two things, for comedy shows and magic shows, they are the best. I would choose...
No one loses their mind in a magic act more than African-Americans.
No way. No freaking way. Which is awesome. Because, like, it makes you excited as well. Like, I was watching those David Blaine Street Magic documentaries, and whenever he would, like, go over to a black guy and show him a magic trick, just the enthusiasm would be infectious. And I would just be, like, I would be enjoying that show way more than if a white person was watching his magic trick.
Yeah, definitely.
You get involved in it. It's fun.
They're part of the magic act.
That's right. Like, the ultimate audience. That's what they are. The ultimate freaking fans.
Every time you ever see a white guy after that, the response is, oh my God.
Oh
that
my
detracts
God.
From the magic.
And always like, how did you do it? But like a black guy always assumes it's magic. What do you mean? How does he do it? He's got powers. Response, that's how he does it.
A white guy's response is always just, how did you do it? Which, okay, so first of all, he's just figuring out how he can have less fun in the situation. The stock standard response of an African-American is, that fucking crazy.
Yeah, and which is so
crazy.
And like you, as a magician, you're like, thanks, man. That's what I was trying to go after. I don't want some smart ass to say, how did you do it? I'm not going to tell you. I worked hard on it. I worked...
What are you talking about? Yeah. I spent 3 years perfecting this.
Perfecting this. And you're like, and I'm going to tell you just now. Why don't you just accept that this is magic and just be excited about it?
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that has got to do with fuck cunts, but...
No, I guess we're moving on. This is exactly what is an opposite of a fuck cunt, which is just a very enthusiastic man who's enjoying their life.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that actually is a nice tie to it. If you don't make this sound sometimes while you're forming a sentence or going, you don't make that sound, you ain't a fuck cunt. Birds, let's talk about them. This week I released a video on why it's, I thought was an extremely obvious point. We shouldn't be keeping birds in cages because they don't enjoy it. Turns out, everybody who owns a bird disagrees with that.
I have been, this one video, I should probably let the audience know, I did research for this like 3 years ago. That's when Jordan came up to me, he's like, you know what's fucked up? Birds in cages, man. Nobody talks about that shit. And I was like, are you sure you want to do this, man? He's like, yeah, can you do research for it? So then I did research, but I just wouldn't give it to Jordan because I was like, dude, are you serious? You want to do a video on this? And Jordan's just released it with overwhelming enthusiasm as response. Yeah, no, but like, yeah. People hated it.
From people that don't have birds. And then from people that did have birds, it was overwhelming. You've just lost a subscriber.
Which is fucked. Come on, like, just accept it. I had birds when I was growing up, and I admit it was fucked up.
Same thing with me. I had a turtle. Something you keep for 100 years. Just kept it in a kiddie pool for 5 years of its life until it escaped. And I was personally offended, as in, what, you didn't like the place I gave you? I did all this for you, Sherbet.
I guess
this is how you repay me.
I kept you in a bucket. It was blue.
Whales on the side smiling. You were in a daycare center, dude.
Yeah, but like I felt like this was a good video because while I was doing research for it, I realized that it's kind of fucked because they don't say that. Like,
conclusion,
birds are not supposed to be in cages. It really fucks up with their psychology.
Would have thunk, yeah.
Yeah, would have thunk.
It's just weird to me that nobody seems to discuss this point. I think everybody just seems to go to their friend's house that has one of these cockatoos that's clearly confined in a gibbet.
Yes.
And then they don't seem to mention it, and then the cockatoo's sadly staring out at you, and you go, And then they offer you something about, you know, just being like, oh, dude, I've got the newest cod. And then you go and you completely forget about the bird.
Yeah.
But that's the sad part about it, that it's constantly being forgotten. And that's, yeah, so that's why I, like, brought it up. And so you had just the two overwhelming negative responses. First of all was that I used a PETA article. And so everybody goes, you don't understand how many dogs are euthanized. Yeah, but are they saying that in the article? Are they telling you to kill dogs in that?
Yeah.
It's a source, man. It's just the best one that I had in comparison to what animal psychologists were saying to you how to keep birds. Peter wrote the best article, so that's the one that I used, right?
Yeah, of course. And I still don't understand that point, because, like, just because dogs are euthanized, I would say euthanize your birds. Like, there's a difference between euthanizing your bird and keeping it in a small cage for 80 fucking years. Like, I would much rather be euthanized than... And you know how, like... Okay, so this was... I remember this while I was researching this, something that I didn't know. You know how, like, parrots always mimic what you're saying?
Mm.
That's because they're going crazy.
I didn't know that.
They're batshit crazy. Yeah, because it really messes with their mind. And they just, like... You know how, like kids or something that would, like, start repeating? Because they don't know what else to do. They're just sitting there. So whatever they hear, any external thing that they receive, they just try to mimic it to enjoy life. And
on some oh my god,
on some degree,
what,
yeah,
a terrible trade-off for being able to fly. You're trading that off to be the black guy in police academy that can do a helicopter sound awesome.
Yes, but okay, I should probably mention, so in Pakistan there's like everywhere else, people keep parrots and birds or whatever. But there's like a weird cultural thing, which I think is quite sinister. For some reason, everyone in that country thinks that parrots eat only chilies. So, I kid you not, I swear this is real. So most parrot owners give their parrots green chilies day and night. Like that's what they think that they eat. And it's quite ridiculous if you think about a fucking parrot having like this corrosive chili for 80 years because it can't have anything else. And I'm like, I'm trying to explain to them that they have other shit. Like, like, no, man, my granddaddy told me never give them anything else because they die.
It's a spice.
Yes, exactly.
It's a flavor enhancer. That's just like saying, nah, man, salt. They really need salt, man.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
It's quite fucked. I hope that through like this podcast, some Pakistani dude realizes it and spreads the message. Because it's not that they're being evil. They just, for some reason, they think that's what they eat. They only eat that. So it's for them, like if you say that you should feed them something else other than chilies, they would say that's kind of like saying that you should feed apples to your cat. Yeah. No, but feed apples to your parrot. Maybe that's something that you could go for.
It's truly bizarre, the response. How offended everybody is about this. Because the thing is that it's a textbook example of... God, here we go. Every time you get into this realm, right, when you start throwing this term around, talk about cognitive dissonance. But yeah, it's cognitive dissonance. You know, call a spade a spade. This one is mostly from people who clearly, I don't know why, but they're just saying that, no, they have fun. They love being there. They're not even in the cage anyway. They're allowed out in the room most of the day. Well, that's great. You're still confining a creature that is designed to fly thousands of miles a year.
And live in the Amazon to like your leather sofa. That's what you're willing to provide it and saying that it should appreciate it. That's kind of like, you know, plantation owners saying that, like, I've given them a room. It's small, but it's a room. And they wouldn't have that in Africa. Like,
you're just Uncle Tom's. Yeah, that's all you are.
That's right. Please realize how fucked up that is.
That argument is exactly what slave owners used to say about owning slaves. They like it that way. Man, I'd love to not be able to think about where my next meal's coming from.
So shut the fuck up. No, you would. That's why you have a plantation. But
yeah, then you trade your mansion for that shit cupboard where there's 20 people in there and like every 2 weeks someone's giving birth in there so you can't go to sleep. You're not going to do that.
I'm going to give you their biggest argument. So if you talk to any bird owner and you say, why don't you just release the bird? They always say this, you know, it's going to die. It's not meant to be released in the wild. They always say that, which I am telling you, come on. Like life, one, what was that saying that I want? Okay, so one day in a life of a lion is better than 100 days in a life of a hyena.
It's we know where that's going. It doesn't quite fit, and I know that there'd be a lot of metaphors to do with birds, so it is better that we're moving this on to lions. But yeah, it's not saying like, because that's saying you should trade with having a better life with an animal. Because I'm sure that if you went to any bird and said, what would you rather be, a bird or would you rather be a dolphin? Most of them would probably go, well, you know, probably a dolphin.
No, but that wasn't the point of the metaphor. The metaphor wasn't actually asking you to become a lion. The metaphor was that if you think that your bird may die because it doesn't know how to fly properly, then you still let it go because that's what it was meant for. So one day in the life of a lion, because lions usually hunt on their own and hyenas try to get what other people have hunted, so their life kind of sucks, even though they've got like more chances of survival, but like...
Yeah, but the rats of the savannah.
Yeah, the rats. So that's what the point was. But, you know how bird owners sort of convince them that what they're doing is noble because they think that they're going to die. So there always has to be something where if I do something that you think is good, that is going to harm the bird.
Yeah, and that's how is you've made a mental patient. Yes. So you're giving yourself props for turning something that would be very capable of looking after itself into the wild into something that's dependent on you giving it budgie mix from black and gold. That's why you're such a hero.
And who are there?
Shame on you, everyone here that doesn't have a chance to defend themselves. Yeah. That's why I like it.
I guess bird owners, here, let me extend an olive branch here.
Have you unlike heard... you do to your birds. Yes. Just giving them a piece of plywood. You're disgusting.
That's actually interesting. That's exactly what I was going to offer. Extend them an olive branch. So have you heard of backyard wildlife sanctuaries? You just create an environment that parrots and birds love. Like you give them, like you keep food, but like you don't trap them. So they just come over and they eat or they chill around and they go away. But because they like it so much, they'll spend most of the time there.
Yeah, a bird bill.
Yeah.
It's the same as the budgie mix you get, but in the shape of a bill.
Yes.
And like, they get really comfortable with you as well. Like, you can even pet them. You can, like, because they like you. You give them food, and they're not pissed off at you because they're not in a cage. They can leave whenever they want.
I don't know what everybody's
essentially
with this problem is. Like, man, if you're over the age of 8, you should be able to have developed enough empathy to realize that the bird fucking hates being in a cage.
Exactly.
It is so weird to me that they got angry at me and felt personally offended, where it's like, you don't really have a leg to stand on to feel offended in this situation that your feelings were hurt. You're a prison guard to Nelson Mandela.
that's what you are, mate. It's only a matter of time before you break, because, like, I think about 6 years ago, it was illegal to kick a hedgehog, but now it is. Oh, it was legal to kick a hedgehog, but now it's illegal. That was like only 6 years ago. So, I'm pretty sure, like, in 20 years, like, someone's just gonna, like, let's call it out, man. Birds in cages. That's kind of fucked.
I think actually Costa Rica already did, but back to the hedgehog kicking. Really sad that I only learned about it, that it's been legalized, because, you know, everyone has that cartoon image of going,
and the worst part is I learned about that from the Ali G show. There was like this one episode where he was interviewing animal rights activists, which is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. So he was just saying, like, yeah, but what if we kick the hedgehog? And the guy was saying it's illegal. Unfortunately, it was only made illegal 6 years ago, but it's illegal now. And he was talking about, like, experiments with his hamster and microwaves that was freaking the heck out of these animal rights activists. He was like, no, don't worry. It didn't die. It was just, like, really hot when it came out. L.E.G., you are a god.
Yes. A extremely delayed and well-deserved, might I add, shout out to you, Ali G. I'm really sorry that it took this long. You deserve way more props even to this day.
Yeah, I think you should just get a Logie, even though you've got nothing to do with Australia. Like, just weird. Yeah. That's the best we can
British
do.
British Simpsons.
Yes, clearly the British Simpsons.
I guess the next one that we're moving on to now is, okay, yeah, just sorry. If you own a bird, that's fine. Just admit that you're a horrible person. Done. Next thing.
And don't unsubscribe.
Which was great. There was one person that wrote into the comments section, hello, internet, what have you got for me today? And then it says, and then he writes, computer, well, sir, apparently you're a piece of shit for owning a bird. And it says me. Okay, thanks for that update. I'll just continue plotting to kill myself.
That's such a good comment. But dude, what did you fucking accept? You were literally, like, there's more birds in Australia than there are dogs or something, right?
So, and cats.
And cats. So, like, you're essentially just saying, I don't want to be famous anymore.
All right. You know what I saw? That movie Public Enemy Number One, and thought, yeah, that's a good career move. All right, so yeah, now we're moving on to greetings from Samoa, where, Ali, you've got a couple of guys at work that are from Samoa, and you asked them what their life was like. Care to share with us all?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So they always talk about how mad it is to live in Samoa, because apparently life just too easy. and I was like, can you elaborate on exactly what you mean that life is too easy? And she was just saying, look, shopping in Samoa is optional. What the fuck? So, like, for groceries, like, yeah, it's optional. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, well, you can technically, like, grow your shit. It's going to take, like, an hour of your day. People that don't want to spend an extra hour of their day on this, they usually shop. People that don't care, they don't have to shop at all. They just make their self-sufficient. And I was like, so, and what else? They're like, yeah, that's it. That's your day. You're pretty much free to do what you want.
So the vast majority of the population at most works an hour a day.
Yes, apparently. And also, funny story.
Take that, France.
What are you talking about? They figured it out. Yeah, and also, like, so I was thinking maybe this is, like, a good place to live. But then he told me another story which was really fucked up. So he was saying that how he was in Samoa and his cousin needed to get a surgery. So he went to the hospital with him, and the guy that was performing the surgery was Australian, and he was like, he was talking to him, and he just said, oh yeah, I just graduated from University of Sydney Medical, like, a couple of years ago. And my friend was just saying, why are you performing a surgery on an individual right now? Apparently.
Oh my God, it was just last year that he was trawling Oktoberfest. Yes. Going, tits, anyone going to get their tits out?
He still has that toga in his closet. Yeah. It's that level of experience. Yeah.
But that with a mortarboard on his head with his just go, oh, just graduated in that toga.
Baxter
rules.
A surgery that's a surgeon that's performing neurosurgery on you and it says, Sydney 2014 is quite fucked up. Because like that was 2 years ago, man. But apparently... So that sort of shocked my friend as well. But he was saying that he found out that he was like the most qualified dude there. So like if it was anyone else, they would be worse off.
Wait, so he's the nation's expert.
Yes, apparently that guy is the nation's expert at performing surgery. So it's not all rosy down there. But yeah.
So great views, terrible healthcare.
Terrible healthcare. And but yeah, you can like...
It's kind of like living in the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, sort of. And she was also saying that whenever she wants coconut water, she tells her little brother to climb up the tree that's next door. Like, that's how simple life is. We have to like, oh, shit, can we go to IG? I need some coconut water. No, man, it's too far away.
Like, and she was saying that, wasn't she? That we've got stores now.
Yes, she was saying that. We've got, like, a few stores now.
Can it evolve on what now is?
I don't fucking know, dude. I think, so like most of their economy is sort of just based on tourism, right? So there's like people that come over and spend money and they're not a very rich nation. And for some reason they don't like it. Like most nations are always stressed about how poor they are. But for some reason, these like island nations are just like, it doesn't matter. We don't need money. we're chill.
Well, they've got life handled. If you live in paradise, because that's the point. They've figured out that they live in heaven, so what's the point of... They are the cover of the first Flat Fatboy Slim album where it has an extremely obese American and it says, I'm already number one, why try harder?
Yes, because it is kind of like... You'll have to give them credit. So like most people that you would meet from a country that has a per capita income... of $4,000 a year.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's like it's pretty close to that. It's like it's nothing at all.
Jesus, so, a perpetual life of being in first year uni. Yes. Imagine that every time, still asking you, just going like, "Oh yeah, no, I get my Centrelink payment next week, man. Please, can I have a 30 cents McDonald's cone, dude? It's just weird to sit here and just watch you eat."
Yes, can I get an extra 20 cents? I'm gonna dip it in chocolate.
yeah, and you saying, no, I'm not made of money.
Dude, you eventually just go like, okay, fuck, take a 50. But but yeah, so like, but the good thing about Samoa is that even though it is like, so any person that you meet from a country that has like a $4,000 GDP per capita is just complaining about like how shit life is, and they're the ones that are just like trying to like saying like, open borders, please, we need to come in. But people from Samoa are like, so would you want to live here that has like $60,000 as like per capita income, or in Samoa? And they're like, I don't know, it's a tough choice, which is bizarre, right? So like, there's got to be something about that place which is mad.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's the only thing that I can compare it to is when I went to Fiji, and as soon as you go in there, even though it takes you forever to get through boarding and passport security.
Yeah.
You are not even slightly angry at the guy that looks like he's even stamping your passport in slow motion.
Yes.
Nothing makes you mad about that place. As soon as you're there, the radio DJ there was... Okay, let's put it this way. He made... the people that are on FBI look professional. He was just out there calling. Like, it just, he said it like it was. Beyonce 7-Eleven was brand new when I was there.
Yeah.
And he put that on and he goes, everybody's getting really crazy about this song. And I'm like, why? It's just gibberish. Sounds like something you'd come up with in play school.
Yes.
And nobody, you know, if you said that in Australia, you can guarantee that That would be the end of Today FM. They'd probably lose their broadcasting license. Fresh hits.
Almost as bad as releasing a bird video. But the one thing that I did hear a Samoan complain about was, because like they're always chill, but the one thing that they were complaining about was how like relevant it is. Too many Chinese people are now coming into Samoa, and their biggest gripe is that they're working. They're like, no.
Making them look bad.
Yeah, making them look bad. And like I was saying, like, oh, so have they like formed their own like areas where they live? They're like, no, man, they even speak like the Samoan language now. I'm like, yeah, but isn't that a good thing? They're like, no, they're trying to infiltrate, man. This is like, just, you're a tourist. You speak Chinese or whatever you speak. Asian.
I love hearing this because it's always, everybody's always saying Australia is the most racist country on the planet. Look at the stats. We're the fifth least racist country on the planet. Yes. I mean, even Samoa, and they're an extremely lazy people. They don't want to trouble their minds with things, but even they're saying that the Chinese suck. I mean, like, it's just worldwide. Everybody on the planet hates Chinese people. Even Malaysia has actively put that in their constitution. Yeah, Chinese people are second-class citizens here.
Yeah, and like...
Which Chinese people said, all right.
Yeah, in brackets, it also says suck ass. Chinese people, second-class citizens, suck ass. Yeah, dude, they're like, their fucking constitution is racist. And that was the consensus where like everyone was like, all right, so we need to like work. Yes, we need to work. So like, I can accept a certain form of racism. So Chinese people are like, yeah, we're fine with that as long as we get to like do business. And Malaysians were like, yeah, as you can do business as long as we get to keep politics. And then like the Indians there were like, what about us? And they're like, you can do jobs and shit.
That's amazing. An entire nation where, wouldn't it be great if you saw that on the Chinese flag there was Chinese writing of what their national slogan is, and it translates to, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Words haven't done shit, man.
That's great. They truly live by that, and also money talks, bullshit walks.
Which is true, man. Like, because of the amount of, in Malaysia's case, the amount of money that they've accumulated, like, they can't be ignored. That was way better than just saying, like, no, as long as there isn't equality in the constitution, we are not going to work with you. Everyone would still be povo. But because they accepted some form of racism and they've got business, they're, like, super ultra rich, so nobody can ignore them anymore.
It's bizarre. It's almost as if their philosophy to life is so inherently right-wing.
Totally, man.
They don't care about little bullshit things. All they care about is the dollar sign at the end of the day. And it's a lot like... they're using the analogy of... You know who Wim Hof is? No. I've been hearing a lot of right-wing commentators talk about this recently. Wim Hof... I can't remember where he's from. Let's just assume that he's Scandinavian for ease's sake.
Common purposes.
Look, the point is... He's a caveman that sits around in the snow all day. He's got to be from Finland. that's his suggestion, is that if you do that, then it naturally expands your veins and you become more tolerant to the snow. So you can actually just walk around naked like Eskimos and Native Americans did, where they'd be walking around in the snow with seal skin on them, which would protect their shoes, which would protect their feet to a degree, but not the same as a Kakmandu boot. Right? Yes, like a couple of steps in, you'd have instantly wet feet.
Yes, Kathmandu not only provides the warrant, but also the swagger.
Yep. Anyway, go on. Sorry. Yeah, seal boots do not provide swagger.
No.
Do they? They just provide, even that, yeah, terror, I reckon. I'd be really scared if I saw someone walking around in seal boots in Australia. But yeah, so his whole idea is that you put yourself through this suffering and as a result your body adapts to it. That's what they're using now as an analogy for why you should accept austerity measures. And I'm starting to think, now that we're talking about Chinese people, maybe it actually does work. As in, they're purposely saying, no, you don't look after the poor, you just let them be poor, and eventually they become rich because they harden up to it.
Man, there are, like, certain things that we'd never accept because, like, it goes against our fundamental principles. But, like, Chinese have figured something out. So, like, I think I might have mentioned this on Holesworthy Live at some point, but I was reading up on the history of, like, East Asia and, like, Korea, China and everything. It's quite interesting. So, like, European history is just filled with wars. Because there was this one general idea that all countries are equal. Everyone's equal, right? But in reality, no one was equal. There were like empires and there was like these shit tribes. Like it was not equal at all. So, and they were constantly fighting. Because if a small country was basically, if someone else fucked them over, they would want to come back with vengeance because they think that they're the same.
That's not fair.
Yeah, that's not fair.
It is not fair.
But how crazy is this? The East Asian history is like the most stable, peaceful history ever. Like in a matter of like thousands of years, they fought like two major wars. That was it. Whereas like...
And as has come out in the Great War, one of them was against lizards.
It was mostly against the Japs. Which is true. It's
the
true.
Lizards of Asia.
Yeah, like the Japs were the old Chinese back in the day. But, okay, so... But the thing was, the reason why that happened was because there was a formal hierarchy. So the hierarchy would go that only... Only, for example, the Chinese would be, because they were the biggest, so they were like, only they could have an emperor. The Koreans could only have a king. And like, every time there was a new king, they would have to send a delegation to China to say, are you okay with this guy being our king? And most of the time, the Chinese were just like, yeah, as long as you know how the structure works, we don't give a shit who your king is. So
that
yeah.
was bizarre to me. I remember asking Koreans when I was there.
Yeah.
Why didn't China try and invade you? I mean, it's not that much of a stretch.
No, not at all. But they didn't need to. Because they're like, as you know who's the boss. I don't want to rule over you. Like, if you're doing what I think, if you understand what the dynamics are. But in Europe, they never understood what the dynamics were. So there was like an informal hierarchy in Europe and a formal equality. But in East Asia, there was formal hierarchy, but informal equality, because everyone was content with the formal hierarchy.
So, are we right wing now? Are we basically saying that Alan Jones got it right?
No, I'm just saying we're students of history. Let's leave it at that. It fucks with my mind too much if I think about it. But it's those interesting things. Like, you know, one of those economists that, like, developed these insane mathematical models for calculating things and, like, what economic policy should be.
And they always look like Rasputin.
Yes, and one of the students asked them something about the applicability of these models in real life, and they were saying, don't confuse with what's interesting with what's relevant. This is interesting, not relevant. So I feel that maybe this whole history of the Chinese informant is like, it's interesting. Don't confuse what's interesting with what's relevant.
I think it is relevant, though. I think essentially what you're saying is the Chinese system works.
No, that is not what I'm saying.
The European model ad infinitum.
Yeah, because I believe in freedom. Dude, I don't care. I'm willing to pay the price. But it is interesting to know.
You're not better than us. It's so much more grand, the Asian way of looking at it. Yes, you are. Look, this is the thing. This is what I've always said when people say that no races are better than any other races. I've always said this. Yes, they are. And their name is Japanese. Like, yes. It's East Asia. They had it handled. If you're able to keep China intact as the nation that it is with very little change of borders... If you look at a map of Europe on speed over the last 2,000 years, it just keeps going into just like expanding into the Roman Empire, then shrinking out, then the Holy Roman Empire, then the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It just keeps going like
this.
Yes,
it's crazy. It's like it's a game show almost. But if you look at East Asia, it's like the same. It's a picture. It's like one picture that stays the same throughout history. At most, they're like Korea would increase, but not because like they took over China, but because there was like a huge land that nobody bothered taking over. So they're like...
Yeah, that's they said to them, did you guys ever expand? And they said, yeah, we took over like 12 tribes. Oh, well, whoop-de-doo.
Yes, whoop-de-doo. And that too was because like they wanted to like... Because the Chinese... There's like a river that separates China and Korea. And the Chinese always just said that this is the border. The river is the border. But there was these huge swaths of land in Korea that nobody... So their map increased, not because they went into China, but because they claimed what was already theirs.
Take that, dear. All right, let's move on to Aussie politics. Mm. We haven't talked about it much recently, and there's been a reason for that. Trump. But I think we probably should
talk
about
it. The closest we came to was when Trump spoke to Malcolm.
God, I love that man. Trump. Let's talk about him more.
Yeah, for
screw
sure.
Screw this Australian politics segment. Let's just keep going on about this guy.
No, fuck Trump.
All right, it is getting to the point where there's just... Now, there's so little news because just everything that he does now... Well, it's always been that case for the last 2 years. It is amazing. It has seemed like my entire life, Trump has been the most famous man on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
But it has only been since 2015. Before that, I thought about him maybe once... when I started watching The Apprentice and thought, I'm not going to bother getting into this.
Man, I used to think about him from like the ages of 12 to the age of 16. I used to think about him every day for an hour when I would come back home and watch the TV and Apprentice was on. And I used to love the show. Dude, this is crazy, but I used to like think, man, what a boss, he's Trump. And that's why I understand why Americans voted for him. Because like, I was in that zone, I was only 14, but, which might say a lot about people that voted for him, but I understand how you think that he's a boss.
Well, just as a quick tidbit, sorry, we will get to Australian politics, but I was listening to this study recently that where universities put out where how complicated the comprehension of all the speeches were of all the candidates. Bernie Sanders was at a 10th grade level. Guess where Donald Trump's was?
Primary school. Dude, that is...
Fourth grade.
That's crazy.
Yeah, what about... I remember playing Jumpstart fourth grade, and it'd still have questions in it like, how many frogs are here? 7. Yay!
Yeah. And always like telling stories of like, did you ever read that story where there are two frogs in a bucket of milk? One of them gives up and dies. The other one keeps swimming and... converts it into butter and jumps off.
Yeah. That's story.
I don't know.
Does anyone believe that? That's what I'd like to know.
Yes. I think I've tried to whenever I have milk, I have a spoon and I keep swinging it, never turns to butter. It never does. It always like...
Well, because of that, so you just crank out that old song. It's like, he's going the distance. He's going for speed. Yes. By the time you finish it, you've got one Arnold Schwarzenegger arm, but no.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That and whacking off the whole day.
It does help.
Yeah.
I honestly do believe that my right arm is stronger as a result of that. It's the third beat off on the day. Every guy that's listening, surely. You can get away with two, but we all know you're in dire straits when you're going on to the third, and you know you've wasted your day. It is always depressing. Yes.
The third one is always the guilty one.
Yes.
It's like you feel
because
hopeless.
You know you've broken one of the seven deadly sins at that point. This is just lust.
Yes. Three, for some reason, two you can still live with, but three, when it gets to three, it's like... Dude, you are fucked, man. Like, you shouldn't be alive. Like, you are literally the scum of society.
Because it's 60% water at that point. It's not milky.
Yes. And it's like, it becomes a habit at that point.
Yeah, you know. What's good about a third beat off is the next step after that, it's the point where an alcoholic goes, when I woke up in that alleyway and I had a text message saying that my wife had left me, I knew I had to change.
Yes.
Yeah, the third beat off is when you start really questioning your priorities in life. Why are we talking about this again?
No, okay, so we were talking about Australian politics, right?
Okay.
So, we just like...
This podcast... Why does anyone listen? Why do the numbers keep going up?
I do not know. I do not understand. Because the amount of time... We literally talk about the segment about 10% of the time that we spend on that segment. It's about that. But okay, Australian politics. Sorry, let's go back to it. So what are some of the things that you... Except for the amazing catfight between Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten... Which was kind of interesting because I'm quite happy with Bill Shorten. I think he is getting way more charismatic than he was before. So kudos
props
for that.
Props to you. You have gone from being probably close to a toilet roll paper with a smiley face drawn on it, which is, let's all be honest, that's what you were in 2013 when you assumed the leadership. You've definitely turned into that to one that has been zhuzhed up on a play school segment where they've put in crappy cotton on top of your head to make it look like you're an old man.
Yes.
And it is definitely showing. I remember when I originally started watching about Bill Shorten and then I started looking into his history. They were talking about when he was with the AWU and the first time that he was asked to go into a contract negotiation with a factory owner, he was so militant. And if anybody knows anything about unions, that's the role of the CFMEU. The AWU is to be snuggly.
Yes.
They are. Let's be honest. No, let's not be honest. Let's just keep moving on.
Good on you, boy.
Yeah, so the point is that, yeah, so he walks out. He asks his senior official, how did I go? That guy goes, to be honest, it was a total embarrassment. Bill Shorten, same face that he had when Malcolm Turnbull was ripping him to shreds for 10 minutes. Yes. Totally different. Comes back the next day, is extremely civil. It's like he got a crash course from the guy that tried to change Pygmalion and succeeded within a day. Just straight in, how do you do?
Yeah, so he truly follows the old Chinese metaphors that there's a reason why you have two ears and one mouth. to listen more. But that's all fine and dandy. But what he doesn't have is Barnaby Joyce. Because, dude, watching that, irrespective of what Malcolm Turnbull's, like, zingers were against Bill Shorten, just looking at Barnaby's face was, like, enough to put anyone, to make anyone uncomfortable. Like, he was the ideal dude. Like, he is the best person for being friends with the bully. Because the way he laughs kills the person that's being picked on. Just doesn't say
that
anything.
That was always the killer. Every primary school argument that you know you lost,
yeah,
it was because there was five or six guys laughing behind you at whatever they said. That was the only time that you'd ever admit defeat.
Yes. No, and like I remember there were times when I would be like, if it was only for all of these fucking nuts that you're carrying around, they weren't laughing, your jokes aren't that funny. And man, like, it was always like the fucking dude that was like, what a fucking idiot. It's funny, man. We're laughing. You crack a good joke, we laugh as well. But they would never laugh at the opponent's jokes. Such is herd mentality, my friend. So yeah, Bill Shorten will always be at a disadvantage because of Barnaby Joyce's amusing face.
Which we've also got to say, Miss Love has discovered that on 93.1 AM is a relay. This is the magic of AM radio. It's not just crusty people yelling at one another. It's groups of crusty people yelling at one another. Parliamentary debates are just relayed, apparently, on that station all day. That's all.
That's all they do.
That is so much better than Kiss 106.
Of course, but I wonder why, like, okay, Miss Love listens to it, which is bizarre, but he does. But, like, I think the only other people that would listen to it are, like, PhD candidates doing, like, their thesis on Aussie. Because yes. Who would listen
and
to,
Christians,
like...
Christians that homeschool their kids.
They're like, if you want to go... And, yeah, they're going to become, like, the next Barnaby Joyce as well. Like, living in rural Australia, just watching these reruns. But one thing that I think that maybe we should talk about is, I don't know if you guys have been following, it's pretty big. There's an energy crisis in this country, mostly because of South Australia. But there is an energy crisis. Like, South Australia is facing, like regular blackouts. But most people are saying that they sometimes face those blackouts because, like, they're out of electricity to supply. And which...
My God.
No, it's true. It's really fucking true. And the reason why that is because... So there's a lot of things why this is happening. But liberals are saying that that's because we're depending too much on alternative sources of energy, which means that we have surpluses at times. Like, we'll have, like, 130% of electricity on a day. And then there'll be a day when we'd have, like, 40. We just couldn't compete with it. But what they're not telling you, it's because of... you know, so we've got, like, these targets that we need to meet by 2030, which includes, like, which is how crazy is this, but Canberra will be, like, 100% renewable by then. So
why aren't they experiencing the blackouts?
No, that's the thing. Well, they kind of, like, even their energy grid is sort of, like, there's energy experts that are saying that, like, this needs to be handled better, not just in South Australia, but all over the country. But because what's happened is that the federal government has basically just told the state governments that, so this is the deal, right? So with Paris Climate Accord, we need to do this, figure out a way. And so they're moving towards renewables, which is good, but it's not as stable as coal, because hot or cold, like coal will produce
coal
the same amount of
burning
energy. Which is why the Liberal government is saying that they need clean coal, whatever the fuck that is. But my personal opinion...
You couldn't press Malcolm Turnbull too far on that, could you?
Yeah, he's like, what do you mean clean coal? It's like, man, it's like, we're going to put like filters on it, right? Yes. Yeah, it's not going to be black smoke. He does have
an
image
of a piece of coal in a shower with a shower cap on, yes, rubbing its back.
And they're like, they always try to convince you because the fumes that come out of those massive like carbon emitting reactors is white. And they always say, look, it's white. It's not even black. It's clean coal. Because China's still producing, like, black smog.
Really good point. Yes, it's the same source of energy that's used to announce a new pope.
Yes, but...
Can't get holier than that.
Here's the thing, man. My thing is, this is going to be pretty controversial because a lot of people might not agree with this.
Do tell.
Which is that the amount of energy that the world is consuming at this point... It's very, very difficult to just depend on renewables. So we need to depend on...
Nuclear?
Yes. Which is not going to be the same always because Bill Gates, how much of a dickhead he is doing something which is very important, which is that he's actually working on nuclear technology. So what he's trying to do is like basically ways to make it more safer. So he's working on like some sort of isotope which will not be as dangerous, and also that it will produce more energy, which means that if we can like do a mixed method of storing energy, we can do some of it as nuclear, which can be like our backup, and then we can have renewables on days that are good. And also...
I want to see what his experiments are, because at the moment I'm picturing that he's just throwing thorium at a kid and seeing how many heads it pops up with and goes, well, this one has got like a slightly less... slightly stable core only puts up 2 heads as opposed to 6.
Yes, true. Yeah, and also, and also another billionaire. Normally, I hate billionaires, but here's another billionaire that is doing something which is very important. Elon Musk, who's working on batteries. So batteries are very, very important. Because
that's great. But can you have a less pretentious name?
Batteries.
No, Elon Musk,
sure. And he's also like South African, which makes it worse, but I don't know why I said that.
Nah, we all know why.
But yeah, but he's doing something which is
good. If
you're
South African, come on, defend South Africa. Yeah. Why are they always the rudest? Whenever you've got a job in Target,
yeah,
as soon as you hear that, hi, how's it going? You just go, well, not very good now.
Now, and why are they always cucks? Never understood that. Except for that one guy, one South African who I met, who was kind of very friendly, but I was annoyed because he would always ask me questions about cricket and I wouldn't know any of the answers. And he would just like look at me just angrily at the end of it, like, what the fuck? What? I thought you were from Pakistan. I was like, yes, man, but like, I'm not that into cricket. And he was like, that's stupid. So
okay.
A friendly man became quite rude.
That's a very
rude.
Good conclusion from you. Not knowing exotic traits about cricket.
Yes.
You're an idiot.
You're an idiot, man. But yeah, so batteries are important because if you look at your iPhone from iPhone 1 to iPhone 7, everything about that has changed except for the shit battery life. It's really hard to do, boys. It's really hard to do. So yeah, if we increase the storage capacity of batteries, that could be a game changer as well. But for now, that is obviously for the future. Right now, we are facing some energy issues, and we may have to depend on fossil clean coal, whatever that is, for like a bit. But
so you say that with hindsight,
mm-hmm,
you wish John McCain was president instead of Obama?
No, not at all, because there is no, like, Obama isn't facing these issues because he's... He's doing it in a small... I think this was handled pretty badly. Like, the whole energy policy was handled badly. Tony Abbott sort of fucked up. He made massive investments in fossil fuels when the prices for renewables was going down. So he basically lost a lot of money because of that. And Malcolm Turnbull, because after this climate thing, what he said was, like, he gave everything to the states and just said that you figure out a way, because you control your own energy, you figure out a way to reduce it, and they're all working independently. And it's so we need some, like, a unified energy policy that is controlled by the federal government, not necessarily the state. That meets the targets. Not that they're providing the electricity, but that is monitoring how our energy supply is diversifying and moving. So I just feel like It all, my opinion, is all boils down to like Malcolm, like the Liberal Party not taking enough ownership of this issue because they weren't as interested in meeting the climate. So what Malcolm Turnbull would say was like, after going to Paris, we'll do everything that they ask us to do. But his heart wasn't in it, so he just gave it to other people. Like, this is a massive event that like you need to take control of. The Prime Minister should get briefings about exactly what's happening, where energy is coming from, not just to his house, but to like all of the states, including Northern Territory, which you wouldn't want to know. But that they're also part of us.
So in summary, you're saying now we're onto very familiar territory here. Change your government.
Yes, change the government. And one recommendation for the new government, that you take it seriously, please. Because it's just changing the government wouldn't solve it. But yeah, like, this is a serious issue that needs to be taken care of.
I didn't know that there was so much happening in the world of energy this week. Probably should start paying attention to it again, seeing as it is supposedly my job. Instead of going, don't leave Bergen Kingdon.
Yes, the only disadvantage that we face is whenever there's a blackout in South Australia, our internet is really slow. Have you noticed that?
No.
They don't admit it, but I feel like that happens every time. So whenever my internet is kind of fucking up, I look at South Australia and they're always having a blackout at that point. I feel like something gets diverted. There's some. I think what they do is they maybe get some resources from other states, which may hamper our grids.
But
I don't know.
Okay, what you're describing here is the difference between knowing something and just done reckoning. Yeah? Do we know that there is a direct link between
No, we don't know. This is my personal experience. Anything,
that's even better.
I've said before, like, that, we know. Like, yeah, all the energy stuff, but about internet not working properly, that is just based on my personal experience.
Let's chuck all the rest of it out the window. Ali's offering something new here. I'm so glad that you're bringing this to the table. You're basically accusing South Australia of your problems.
Yes, I feel, and I know that this is my own personal experience, but it's happened way too many times for it to be a coincidence.
All right. There. Put this out of the table. Now you have to disprove it, South Australia. As people say to me in the comment section all the time, which I don't think is the way that evidence works, but it's your job to prove it to me.
Why?
It's very Christian stance on evolution.
No, but you know what that is? That's always like, there's like two sorts of inquiries. One is that when you're assumed guilty and you have to prove why you're innocent, and the other one is where you're assumed innocent and you, like the other person, the accuser, has to prove why you're guilty. And they're always fighting over which course of action should be taken. Should it be, I think it's called inquisitorial and adversarial.
Which one are you an advocate of?
Where you're assumed innocent until proven guilty. Because, dude, like, you could, like, pretty much just say, you are a racist, and then I have to, like, prove that I'm not. That's way better than just saying, no, I'm not. Why do you say that I am?
It seems to be, in every regard, when it comes to the law, Australia's definitely innocent until proven guilty as a society. But when it comes to being called a sexist or a racist, you are guilty
until proven guilty. That is why Trump got elected.
All right, well, I guess that's the end of this podcast. Miss Love probably would have added something in about some snack that he bought at a gas station this week, but unfortunately, seeing as we don't have that, I guess we'll see you next week.
And if Miss Love, if you're listening, which I highly doubt, fuck you.
No, he will listen, but it will be in, I'm guessing, April of this year.
Let's find out. If Miss Love, if you are listening to this, you need to tell me that you listen to it, and I bet you that I will never hear back from him.
Yeah, this is like Stephen Hawking opening up a party that's exclusively for time travelers. And seeing as nobody came, he goes, there, I disproved that time travel doesn't exist. We're doing it today as well. The Australian version of it, except for Ali's fully able, but probably moves about as much as Stephen Hawking does. We do sit around a lot.
Too much.
All right, see you guys.
See ya, boys.